Monday, March 4th, 2019, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado. And I'm telling you right now, it is a very chilly Denver, Colorado over this past weekend. We get together every single weekday. We discuss the world of sports with a dose of common sense. We'd rather just laugh at a lot of the sports world whenever that is possible. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Monday to you. Do you realize, and when I say this, it's going to possibly make you feel a little bit old, or at least it makes me feel a little bit old. But do you realize that it was on this day, March 4th, 29 years ago, back in 1990, that Loyola Marymount forward Hank Gathers collapsed with 13:34 left in the first half of Loyola Marymount's West Coast Conference Tournament semifinal game against the Portland Pilots. He had just scored on a dunk on an alley-oop pass from point guard Terrell Lowry that put Loyola up 25-13. And a lot of people don't realize this. Hank Gathers actually collapsed just a few feet away from Pilots point guard, a guy you might know now as the head coach of the Miami Heat, Eric Spoelstra. Now, Hank Gathers attempted to get up. He was telling the athletic trainers, "I don't want to lay down." Shortly after that, he just completely stopped breathing. Gathers was pronounced dead at a nearby hospital just hours later. He was only 23 years of age. Gathers had died as a result of an irregular heartbeat. He was taking medication for it, but he didn't like how the medication made him feel, so he just stopped taking them. Of course, Loyola still qualified for the NCAA tournament, but they got in as an 11 seed. I mean, it was a cute story, but how far could they really go without their top player? Because Hank Gathers was their best player. He was big. He was strong. He could attack the paint. He was a great rebounder. How far could Loyola really go? But that Loyola team, that was a team on a mission. They bonded together. They weren't looking at it as, well, I guess that's it. I guess we're done. They had a different mindset. They went out and they were saying, hey, we're going to go out and we're going to win this thing for Hank. We are going to win some games. We are going to play hard. We are going to get after it. They blew out the number 6 seed, New Mexico State. Then they scored 149 points on the number 3 seed, the Michigan Wolverines. They squeaked past Alabama, and somehow Loyola Marymount went all the way to the Elite 8, despite the fact, again, they didn't have their best player, but they were playing in that tournament for Hank Gathers. Hey, it was one of the most memorable NCAA tournaments in history. And if you remember when Hank the Bank passed, or the run that Loyola Marymount went on in his absence, that was absolutely a March Madness you will never forget. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your favorite March Madness moment. We would, of course, love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe it's not about March Madness. Maybe you have a different question for us. Maybe you have a comment for us. Maybe you need some advice on a certain subject. Might not even have anything to do with sports. We have taken a few of those in the past. We would love to hear from you. Feel free to reach out. Also, you should stop by tpublic.com because I'm telling you right now, I do have a bit of an announcement to make. Yeah, go ahead and play. You know, the Daily Dose IT is our investigative team here at The Dose that is somehow able to track down things like news scoops, ultra secret audio, a ton of highly classified information, and they bring it to us so that we can make it available to you. I don't question their methods. Maybe I should, but I don't. I prefer not to know, to be perfectly honest. But somehow, the Daily Dose iTeam comes through again and again and again. Just recently, they have provided us with audio of Patriots owner Robert Kraft leaving that massage parlor. No one else has it. TMZ doesn't have it. The Daily Dose iTeam had it for you. They came up with audio of Kyler Murray's conversation with the Oakland A's when he was going to tell them that he was focusing on being an NFL quarterback, not on playing baseball. They give us coverage that you can count on, sort of. Anyways, we now have Daily Dose iTeam t-shirts and hoodies and gear that you can purchase over at tpublic.com. Our Daily Dose designers have come up with something that I think you are really going to like. So make sure you stop by tpublic.com. Check out the new Daily Dose gear that is over there. We have that Daily Dose iTeam gear that all Daily Dose iTeam members are wearing when they are out in the field doing sometimes this very hazardous, very dangerous work, you can be wearing the same gear that they have. Everything over at TeePublic is reasonably priced. They will get it to you quickly. And you know, they're always having sales. If you stop by TeePublic.com, just check them out. They're always, it seems like, having sales, giving you a little bit of a discount on the gear that you want. So make sure you stop by TeePublic.com. Pick up some of that new Daily Dose iTeam gear. Plus, you know, our regular Daily Dose gear is over there as well. A number of things for you to pick up over at TeePublic.com. Make sure you stop by. Hey, today on the show, like we do on many Mondays, we are going to be recapping what we learned from the weekend in sports. It was a busy, busy weekend in the NBA. It was a busy weekend in college basketball, and the NFL Combine was going on. So we had a number of things to keep an eye on over the weekend. I was watching sports all weekend, and from Saturday night into Sunday, I was burning through my remote. My batteries are going dead. I was going from the NBA to the UFC fight that was going on to college hoops, a couple of different games. I was bouncing back and forth on Sunday. I'm watching a little bit of the NASCAR race. I'm watching some of the PGA. I'm watching, again, college basketball, NBA. Just a number of good things to watch over the weekend. And we've got to take a look at some of the things we learned. And the first thing that I learned over this weekend, I learned that we already have a few winners at the NFL Combine. Mississippi wide receiver DK Metcalf, Missouri quarterback Drew Lock, Oklahoma State running back Justice Hill put up some impressive numbers over the weekend at those Underwear Olympics. And we are already hearing about how these three could be inching up the draft boards. Now, DK Metcalf is 6'3". He is 228 pounds. That's a big wide receiver. He turned in a 4.33 40-yard dash. He had a 40.5-inch vertical jump, and he had an 11'2" broad jump. Then he followed that up with really strong workouts in his positional drills. Metcalf not only caught the ball well, they say he had really good balance. They say he had really good body control getting in and out of his breaks. DK Metcalf was very impressive. Quarterback Drew Lock ran way faster than was anticipated. He turned in a 4.69 40-yard dash. And he dazzled all the scouts with his arm skills. Hey, he can throw the ball. Drew Lock has a big arm. And he does have some touch. He's a pretty accurate passer. With his upside, with his athleticism, hey, could Drew Lock sneak up into the top 10? That's possible. Then we saw Justice Hill go out and show some serious explosion as a running back. He turns in a 4.44 40. His broad jump was 10'10", and his vertical jump was 40 inches. All of those figures ranked first among the running backs so far. Now, maybe all three of these players end up being just better than we all thought. I mean, forget for a moment that none of these players, you know, really won that much or came through with clutch plays in big games when they needed to. Forget all that. Did you see how fast they ran the 40-yard dash in no pads? Did you see how well they performed in their positional drills? I mean, with, you know, nobody else on the field. See, this is exactly the kind of silliness that we warn about every single year. And then the combine comes and they say, okay, don't get caught up in combine stuff. But we see teams every single year completely ignore the game tape and get excited about how high a prospect jumped. Don't look now. It's happening again. We warn against it every year. It happens again and again, and it's happening right now. We definitely learned that over the weekend. Hey, coming back, we still have a ton to get to today on The Dose. Hey, don't be surprised to see another very good rookie that no one has ever heard of playing again in the NFL. And we are starting to see some NFL teams announce their franchise player plans. Some interesting things going on there. And did you know that in the NBA, you can actually still be awful and make the record books? Well, we saw it this weekend. So let's continue with what we learned from the weekend in sports. And we did learn a number of things. There were just a lot of things going on this weekend in sports. But we learned in the NFL that it sounds like the Jacksonville Jaguars are now expected to be the lone team in the Nick Foles sweepstakes. Reports are that the Jaguars will sign Foles to be their new quarterback on March 13th when free agency opens. Now, they were saying that Washington, the New York Giants, and the Miami Dolphins were all thought to be possibly other landing spots for Foles. But now, they don't seem to be all that interested. Of course, last season, the Jags were expected to be a Super Bowl contender. We saw how tight they had played the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. They've got a good defense. All you have to do is not screw things up completely offensively, and the Jaguars are going to be right there in the hunt. But then quarterback Blake Bortles turned out to be every bit as awful as we all thought he would be, and the Jags ended up going 5-11 instead. Now remember, Nick Foles went 4-1 in the postseason the past two seasons. He has been 6-2 in the regular season when he has had to fill in for Carson Wentz with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I understand that this news is going to get a lot of people talking this week about, hey, don't look now, but the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be contenders again. But I just want to throw out this caution. Be very careful with that. I think when we look at Nick Foles and we say, wow, look at the success he's had, look at how much better he's gotten, we tend to forget the lean years with Nick Foles. Remember, this was a guy that was getting ready to literally retire. He had said, I'm done. I think I'm out. And then he got on in the right situation in Philadelphia with a coach in Doug Peterson that I think is a little bit better than he's getting credit for. Doug Peterson has been putting Nick Foles in a system where he can be more successful. And as a result, Foles looks very, very good. But be very careful that you don't look at Jacksonville and say, well, now they're definitely a contender again. Because we kind of forget, yes, as bad as Blake Bortles was, there were a number of other issues with that Jacksonville team. The defense that was supposed to be so good not only wasn't as good as advertised, at times they didn't even look like they felt like playing. And we can just blame that on Bortles. Well, they didn't feel like playing because they weren't getting much help from their offense. Okay, I get that, but how many times have we seen a defense carry a team to the championship? Hey, you know what, offense? You do what you can. We're going to find a way to win. That's not what we saw with Jacksonville this year. They just kind of quit. They played when they felt like playing. And at times, they competed with some of the top teams in the league. And at other times, they got destroyed by some of the worst teams in the league. Nick Foles should help Jacksonville. Is he going to cure everything? No. They've got a number of other issues that they're going to need to address. One other thing I learned, you know, last year in the NFL, we saw the all-time leader in all-purpose yards at the University of Colorado not even get invited to the NFL Combine. And then we saw running back Philip Lindsay go completely undrafted in last year's NFL draft. Of course, he ended up being picked up as an undrafted free agent. The Denver Broncos signed him basically because he was a local kid. They had seen him in high school. They had seen him playing up the road in Boulder during his college years. And so they grabbed him and he proceeded to rush for over 1,000 yards as a rookie. Pretty nice season. Well, we learned over the weekend, we're probably going to see a very similar scenario this year because Buffalo Bills linebacker Khalil Hodge, who has been among the nation's leaders in tackles over the past two seasons now. This past season, in fact, he led the nation with 153 tackles. But the NFL, again, didn't even invite him to their combine. Why? A couple reasons. Mostly because they looked at the name on the front of his jersey. And they decided, why would we invite some guy from Buffalo? He's not any good. Just like they did with Philip Lindsay last year. They looked at him and said, well, I mean, Colorado, they're not really that great. He's not big enough to come compete in the NFL. Why would we invite him? There's no reason to. He clearly isn't this type of talent. Now, I do think this year that Khalil Hodge will probably get drafted because his game tape is very, very good. He is an absolute tackling machine. And he's not undersized. He's got good size. He is a football player that understands how to play the game. And I think he'll get drafted. Will he get drafted as maybe he would have if he'd been invited to the combine, though? No, he won't, because there just won't be that many teams that have seen him, that have gotten that chance to interview him, that have gotten that chance to see him up close and in person. But once again, the NFL gets too caught up on silly things instead of just looking at whether or not this kid can play football. Hey, anyone remember a guy by the name of Khalil Mack? He also came out of Buffalo. Remember that? He was deemed to be kind of a small school guy, but he actually did get the invite to the combine. Yeah, how'd that work out? Khalil Mack end up being any good? I don't quite remember, but I think he ended up being okay. Hey, once again, the NFL doesn't always get things right. You know, we also learned over the weekend that the Kansas City Chiefs are placing their franchise tag on defensive lineman D. Ford, and also that they might actually hate just to see his face every time they see him too. With the change from the 3-4 defensive scheme last year to the 4-3 defensive scheme they will be running this year, the Chiefs say they will sign Ford to a franchise deal, but they're also going to be listening to trade offers for him. I mean, that's kind of weird, isn't it? The Chiefs, of course, are switching their base defensive scheme to a 4-3 because remember, they went and got new defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo, which would likely mean that Dee Ford would need to move out to defensive end as opposed to playing inside on the defensive line. But here's the thing. Dee Ford has played that position in college before he has moved around with Kansas City. They've kind of had him all over the place in KC. But he's played defensive end in college. This wouldn't be that big of a deal. So why are the Kansas City Chiefs going to be listening to trade offers on a guy that is a pretty solid player? Why in the world would they be dangling him out there and say, hey, we're going to sign him to a franchise deal, but I mean, if anybody wants to give us anything of value, yeah, we'll definitely listen. Because I think they can't stand to look at Dee Ford. Because I would imagine that every time they see him, all they can think of is that stupid offsides penalty that Ford got called for in the AFC Championship on 3rd and 10 with less than 2 minutes to play when Tom Brady threw a pass that went through Rob Gronkowski's hands and was intercepted by the Chiefs and was going to be sending Kansas City to their first Super Bowl in nearly 50 years. Except for one thing, Dee Ford had lined up in the neutral zone and the officials had thrown the flag. Of course, the Patriots got a do-over. They went down the field, scored, and ended up winning the game in overtime. And I'll just assume that the Kansas City Chiefs are holding a little bit of a grudge against Dee Ford for that dumb play. Kind of funny just how they won't let that go, isn't it? I mean, you would think 50 years of heartache could be gone, but they look at Dee Ford and just go, I mean, he's a good player, but oh God, I just keep seeing that play again and again. I can't get it out of my head. You know what? If anybody wants to give us anything for him, let's go ahead and entertain offers. I don't even care. I'm so over that guy. You know that's what's happening. One other thing in the NFL that we did learn this weekend, and you know, we've talked about this guy a few times lately, but in more delusional news this weekend, we learned that Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown, yeah, folks, he might be completely out of his mind. I mean, if we didn't already know that. Like, I'm already kind of conceding that, but if you didn't know that, we have a little more evidence of it this weekend. Because sporting blue hair and his blonde mustache, Antonio Brown conducted an interview over the weekend where he said that he believes he will be dealt by the Steelers because that's what's good for their business, but he does not take any blame for the breakdown of his relationship with the Steelers that has led to him being on the trading block. Here is some of the nonsense that Brown had to say. I don't take any blame. I just think I took responsibility for my situation. You know, I didn't point the finger. I didn't make no one look bad. I didn't throw no stones at anyone. Earth to Antonio Brown. You're literally doing right now exactly what you are saying you didn't do. You're blaming someone else. You're not taking responsibility. Remember, Antonio Brown is the guy that was filming the locker room when everyone in the Steelers organization was said, hey, don't film in the locker room. We don't do that. He did it because he doesn't mind being a distraction. He doesn't mind if it's all about him. Antonio Brown is the guy that quit on his teammates, that quit on his team, that quit on his fans in that last game of the Steelers season this last year. That wasn't anyone else. That wasn't the Steelers franchise saying, hey, you know, Antonio, we don't want you here. He quit. He left. He didn't want to be there. And again, Antonio Brown is kind of talking like a crazy person. He's not taking responsibility. Hey, I've said it before. I would not want my favorite team signing Antonio Brown. No thanks. I know he's talented. There are a lot of talented guys out there. I also look at him and say, he is not thinking clearly. There is something going on with Antonio Brown. I don't know exactly what it is, but we're going to keep hearing goofy things come out of his mouth. He keeps doing it again and again, just like this, where he says, hey, I didn't blame anyone, and it's totally their fault. You just did what you said you weren't doing. Antonio Brown doesn't seem like he's okay right now. Switch over to the NBA. And you know, I learned in the NBA that you can actually get your name in the record books, and it doesn't even matter whether or not you're a good team. On Friday night, the 18-45 Chicago Bulls beat the 21-42 Atlanta Hawks. Okay, two awful teams, but check out the score. The Bulls beat the Hawks 168-161 in quadruple overtime. The 329 combined points trail only the 370 points scored by the Pistons and Nuggets back in 1983 in a triple overtime game, and the 337 points from the Bucks and the Spurs from back in 1982. This game that took place on Friday night between two awful teams now ranks third all-time in points scored. Rookie Trae Young, who played almost 56 minutes that night, had his third straight game of setting or matching his career scoring high after back-to-back games. He had 36 points. He also had 16 assists, 8 rebounds. Oh yeah, 9 turnovers. We won't talk about that. Now, according to the Elias Sports Bureau, Trae Young is the first rookie with 120 points in a 3-game span since Allen Iverson did it back in 1997. Now, who in the world would have thought these awful Chicago Bulls and these awful Atlanta Hawks would be combining to do anything noteworthy? Not me. Nobody did. They're both awful. But here's the key. If you play against each other, then your dysfunction makes the other actually look better. I mean, how can I break this down? This is kind of the equivalent of when a group of, let's say, not so attractive girls, they go out all together for a bachelorette party. I mean, just all of them being together kind of makes them more attractive. You see what I'm saying? But They're not attractive at all. So don't believe the hype. They might get in the record books, but they're really not worthy of being in the record books. You see what I'm saying here? Okay, let's continue. You know, this weekend we did also learn that just when we think the Los Angeles Lakers are looking bad, they are in trouble. Yeah, they somehow managed to drain a little more out of that pool. Honestly, it's reaching a point where we just need to stop talking about this team anymore here on The Dose because they're not worth our time. They're becoming irrelevant, which is crazy because isn't that literally why LeBron James was brought to Los Angeles? He was going to change that. He was going to make the Lakers relevant. They don't look so relevant right now. With just 21 games remaining, the Lakers are now 4.5 games behind the number 8 seed and 4.5 games out of playoff contention. Now, maybe that doesn't sound too bad. 4.5 games back. You got 21 games to make that up. But the Lakers aren't giving us any signs that we should have any hope. Last week, they lost to the Anthony Davis-less number 12 seed New Orleans Pelicans. Remember, Anthony Davis is, kind of playing whenever he feels like it. Then they followed that up by losing to the current 14 seed Memphis Grizzlies. Memphis is bad, folks. I don't know how you're losing to Memphis. Okay, so the Lakers rebound. They beat the Pelicans in a rematch last Wednesday. But then on Friday night, against the top team in the East, the Lakers are playing the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Lakers are actually leading the game. They are up 118-116 with just over 2 minutes to go. Hey, the Lakers are battling with one of the top teams in the NBA. Yeah, and then Milwaukee finished the game on a 13-4 run in the final 2 minutes. They blow out the Lakers, really, 131-120. But wait. It gets a little bit worse. Because then on Saturday, the Lakers somehow managed to lose to the worst team record-wise in the entire league as the Phoenix Suns beat them 118-109. So now, I guess we just sit back and kind of watch. Are the Los Angeles Lakers going to quit on this season? And more importantly, is LeBron James going to quit on this season? We're going to see it in the next few weeks. Hey, they can still make the playoffs if they would do a couple of things. If they would start playing some defense without fouling so much and just make a few shots. And I'm not getting greedy. I'm not saying, hey, Lakers, go knock down a few threes. I'm not that crazy. I'm just saying, could you make a few free throws? The Lakers aren't even doing that. And yes, LeBron, I'm looking right at you. Hey, the Lakers are struggling. And head coach Luke Walton's time could be running out any second now. LeBron James has reached the playoffs now in 13 consecutive seasons. This is the latest into a season that a LeBron James-led team has had a sub-500 record since the Cleveland Cavaliers finished his rookie season 35-47. That was back in 2004. Now, I'm not saying that missing the playoffs this year is going to crush LeBron James' legacy. I'm not. Obviously, the things he's done, he still has a great legacy. But if you miss the playoffs this year, yeah, it won't help his legacy. It won't help it one single bit. Hey, coming back, we do have a couple more things we did learn from the weekend in sports. That NCAA tournament is coming quickly, and one of the top teams in the country, they have a major, major concern, and honestly, it has nothing to do with their play on the floor. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, maybe you need to pick up something for a friend, maybe you have a birthday coming up, maybe you have an anniversary coming up, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature some of your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. The March Loot Crate theme is now out. It is called Cosmic. Are you ready to fly higher, explore further, go faster, and see more than anyone has before? Join us as we embark upon a cosmic adventure filled with otherworldly powers, legendary forces, and dangerous new frontiers. March's Loot Crate theme features items from the new Captain Marvel, Alien, Lost in Space, and much, much more. But hey, remember, if none of those franchises interest you, you can always go to Loot Crate and you can choose from a huge selection of past crates. You can order a monthly subscription of crates that will arrive in your mailbox every single month, or you can just go over to lootcrate.com and order individual items. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just be sure that you type Daily Dose, one word, in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning into the Daily Dose. So let's move over to college basketball. Like I said earlier in the show, it was a very entertaining weekend in college hoops. A number of big games, a number of rivalry games. We have some more coming this week. Rivalry games, conference tournament games are going to be starting very, very soon. Some of those conference tournaments begin this week. We are going to start seeing tickets being punched to the big dance very, very soon. But over the weekend, we did learn that the North Carolina Tar Heels are going to be kind of a scary team to watch down the stretch and into the postseason, but it doesn't really have anything to do with their play on the floor. On Saturday, head coach Roy Williams exited his number 5 Tar Heels matchup with the Clemson Tigers after he took a knee late in the first half due to another bout of vertigo. With 55 seconds left to go before halftime, they had to stop play because Roy Williams took a knee in front of the Tar Heels bench. Players, assistants, medical personnel, other people were just like running over there, and two individuals actually lifted him up and helped walk him back to the locker room. Now, North Carolina officials said at the start of the second half that Williams was feeling better, but he never came back to the game. UNC ended up winning the game 81-79 in a game that was probably a little more tight than it should have been. But Roy Williams is now 68, and he has been open about the fact that he suffers with vertigo, which causes dizzy spells just at random times. It can't be predicted. He can't really control it. But every once in a while, Roy Williams just gets really, really dizzy and kind of has to take a knee or he could, you know, go down. He actually had a similar looking incident a few years back when the Tar Heels were playing Boston College. But here's the thing. When you see a 68-year-old guy take a knee in the middle of a big game, I was watching this game on Saturday, and all of a sudden, you just see Roy Williams kind of look disoriented and kind of go down. You can see it is something to do with his health. Yeah, it's a scary, scary moment. Now, I'm like starting to watch the North Carolina Tar Heels through my fingers, just hoping, oh, Roy, just stay on your feet. Please be okay. I really do. I hope Roy Williams is okay. He is one of the great guys, and he is one of the really good, good coaches in college hoops. But man, this is scary stuff to watch. I mean, I hate to say this, but I really do. I see him start going down, and I'm starting to have like Hank Gathers flashbacks. Hey, take care of yourself, Roy Williams. Listen to your doctors. If they are saying you need to take some time off and get healthy, I hate to say, but you might have to do that. Because when we see him collapsing on the sideline in front of your bench, oh my goodness, it is not a good look. March Madness is going to be crazy enough without this added drama. I just hope, for the sake of basketball, for the sake of his family, for the sake of North Carolina, and just for Roy Williams in general, he's a good guy. I just hope he's okay. That was scary to watch on Saturday. Hopefully that is the last we see of that. Hey, tomorrow on the show, we will of course be bringing you the latest and greatest sports news. And You might not realize this, but I'm telling you right now, tomorrow is a very special day of the year. We're going to have to discuss that a little more tomorrow on the show. Got a number of things to talk about this week of the Daily Dose. It's kind of funny because the NFL is done, college football is done, but we have no shortage of things to talk about in sports. It is a busy, busy time of year. You got to love that as a sports fan. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Monday. For all of you that reach out to someone and say, hey, check out this podcast. I think it's something you're going to like. Thank you so much. We appreciate you sharing the show. It really is the only way we get heard by other people is by you reaching out and sharing it. Thank you. We appreciate that. Hey, if you're not subscribed to the Daily Dose, wherever you listen, please make sure you click that little subscribe or follow button so you don't miss a single episode. Also, make sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some of that new Daily Dose iTeam gear. You know you need that in your life. Hey, you want to look like the Daily Dose iTeam does. Those are people getting the job done. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Monday.